So we're going to pick it up in verse 9, Psalms 119, verse 9. And beginning in verse 9, he begins, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." Now, as we've been going through this chapter, one of the things we need to understand is from the writer's heart, what we have here is a bit of a dialogue between God and this individual. Now, who is this individual? We don't know. There are conjectures that it is David, that it is Solomon, that it is Daniel. I doubt if it's Daniel because at this period it's being written, it says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways?" And Daniel was not a young man. And so we don't know for sure, but we do know that God was involved in this. We can get it even from the writing here, that this was a real heartfelt prayer to the Lord and seemingly as a dialogue. And it's a really great chapter. And he begins when he says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways?" Or, "How shall a young man cleanse his ways?" And he goes on by saying, "By taking heed thereunto according to thy word." Now, by taking heed. In other words, to keep and to observe according to thy word. Now, much of this chapter is speaking of the relationship that we have with the Lord in the context of his word. Now, we're focused here at this church into his word. Why? Because we believe that God has left us here the answers, not in some archaic form, but the answers for today is real and alive here before you, sitting here on your lap. And he starts out by telling us that. He says, "By taking heed according to our words, we shall cleanse our ways." Now, we know that when we are born again, we are positionally sanctified in the Lord. Now, what does that mean? That means in God's eyes, you are already whole and you are complete. You are a finished work. That's a wonderful thing. So that means if you die 2 seconds after you became a born-again Christian, or, 50, 60 years, and you accumulate a lot of sins in that amount of time, as we often do, God sees us as complete and whole and perfect. Now, we know in the practical realm that we're not, that we can't even make it through the day without sinning. So we know that there is a positional sanctification that grows. Now, when we talk about cleansing our ways, the writer here is obviously talking about cleansing our ways on the practical realm. Now, all of us who are born again, our desire should be, and if you are born again, it is inevitable, for you to be growing into the likeness of Jesus Christ, that he is going to be true and faithful to complete in us this work that he has begun. We're going to be more and more like him if you're born again. Or there's going to be a horrendous struggle. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you just fight against everything God tries to do. You just grit your teeth and I'm not moving, and you're just going to be spiritually stubborn. And you can certainly fight that way your whole life, but you are the loser. Make sure that you understand that. But in this, he says, how shall we cleanse our ways? In the practical realm. And we can do it by keeping and observing according to the word. Now, what's the prerequisite to keeping and observing his word? Well, you kind of have to know it, don't you? And if you don't know it, you kind of have to get into it to find out what it is he wants of us. Now, are all of us trying to be looking for the Cliff Notes version of spiritual growth? I don't know if you guys have ever been in like a campus bookstore and they got all the Cliff Notes there and you spin around. There actually is a Cliff Notes for the Bible. I don't know what's in that. I don't know if you open it up and it says grace. I don't know. But, there is Cliff Notes, but I don't really think that that's a fast track to spiritual growth. Now, many people have come to me over the years and said, Pastor, how is it that, I want to grow, I want to mature, how is it that I can do this? And, I don't know any fast way. Get knocked down a lot, get back up? I don't know. If I were to tell you anything, if you were really serious about it, is go up and start checking out tapes. Eat tapes, man. Just go for it. That's a good way to get fed all the time, in the car, and just when you're around the house, got stereo going, instead of listening to the oldies station, listen to, Chuck Smith tape or whatever. And we can grow. You got CSN here, and you got a chance to listen to Calvary Satellite Network 24 hours a day. And in almost all of it is teaching. And you can really get fed all the time. Now, that will help. But there is no real fast track. There's no Cliff Notes. You have to get into the Word, okay? There's no cheating way through it. He goes on in verse 10. He says, "With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." Now, here we have a crucial step, a crucial key to the successful growth in our Christian walk. Whole heart. Whole heart. Now, a half-hearted attempt, guys, is going to yield half-hearted success. Halfway success. That's what's going to happen. See, I have learned a long time ago in my own life, and I know that the Scripture will bear this out, that as much as you give to Him, that's how much He'll bless you. And the speed of which you will give it to Him, that's the speed in which He is going to then grow you. Now, I'll kid you not, if you give to God at a speedy rate, it's like, Lord, I'm going to give You my finances. Lord, I'm going to give You my marriage. I'm going to give You my job. If you give it to Him fast, you know, the blessings will come fast, but so will the hard knocks, right? I mean, that's just the truth of the matter. But some of you are willing. I hope you're all willing to take what God has for you. But when you look at this, whole heart, there is no other way around this. A whole heart. The Bible tells us that those that seek Me will find Me, speaking God from God here, those that seek Me will find Me if you seek Me with a whole heart. A whole heart, not halfway. Half-hearted commitments, guys, are doomed to failure. You know? We expect whole heart when people do things. It's like you expect your spouse to love you with a whole heart, right? You expect your banker to balance your account with a whole heart, right? You know, you don't want, you know, kind of half-hearted, you know, okay, that's good enough. You know, we want the whole thing. Hello. My voice is going away. So it's very important to give a whole heart here. And it speaks here concerning diligence, having that diligent heart. He goes on in verse 11, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against Thee. Now, that's a famous verse. It's a verse that we are all familiar with. And this is where it originally appears. Thy word have I hid in my heart. And that word hid, it means to treasure or to store up. Now, I want you to know something, that's a lot different from just kind of breezing through it, cracking your Bible once in a while, you know, opening up in your devotions and go, okay, my devotions are right here today. You know, we need the full context of His Word. I encourage you to start at some point and keep reading. Now, I'm not saying you should start in Leviticus, all right? That's probably not a good place. Start with the book of John. That'd be the best place. And then read all the way, rest of the way through the New Testament. Get a handle over what God has done for you before you start going back and looking into the law, you know, and about stoning people and all that kind of crazy stuff. So it has its place, but there needs to be a clarity of understanding. And the important thing for you to know what God did for you. And He did it all. But you have to know these things. You have to be able to hide them in your heart. Now, as I mentioned here, it's one thing to hear the Word of God, and it's quite another thing to treasure them or store them up in our heart. Now, I want you to recall Jesus in the wilderness. Do you remember? In that wilderness testing, He had Satan come to Him, and He had to beat back Satan, and He only had one weapon, didn't He? And that was, it is written. It is written over and over again. If you've ever been in a witnessing situation, you will quickly find that if the Holy Spirit is in that situation and has foreordained you to witness to that person, then what will happen is when you start witnessing to them, if you speak your own mind, you're only going to make it so far. Then you start quoting Scripture and something supernatural starts to occur. If they're not wanting to listen, they're going to back off in a hurry because something supernatural in the Word of God. And also, the Bible tells us the Word of God cuts both ways, cutting and going, sharper than a two-edged sword. It is living. It is living. And when you put it out there, it will not come back void, the Bible says. And if you've been out there and you've experienced that, you'll know that, and you'll learn to use Scripture in witnessing situations, use Scripture in counseling situations, and try to keep our own opinions out of it. Thy word have I hid in thy heart. Now, Adam and Eve had that same weapon, didn't they? When they started, they had God's Word, what He had said. Now, so be it. There wasn't a lot. They didn't have to be able to, they couldn't go into the book of John. Hadn't been written yet. Hadn't occurred yet. But they still had the Word of God to use as a weapon when dealing with Satan. But Eve first tossed it aside in favor of her own reasoning. But then Adam came along and he tossed it aside also in favor of his own emotions. Have to realize the one thing about Scripture is that it is unchanging. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, what in all of this life and in all of this world can we say that about? We know that the Word of God is still true and just today as it was when it was written. And it is still as pertinent. Anyone who says it is archaic and doesn't have bearing today does not read this Word. I'm amazed sometimes at how cutting edge it is. But we, just like Adam and Eve, can oftentimes throw it away for our own reason or our own emotions. Well, I don't feel this, or I do feel this, you know. It's amazing. We can, like, you know, you start dating, and what can happen oftentimes is we can start slipping into premarital sex, and it's amazing. And come on, let's all face up to it. It's amazing how you can start to reason these things out in your mind, isn't it? Well, I really love her, though. Hey, it's just her, and we're kind of already married in God's eyes, and you start going down that spiel. We've all used it, you know. You know, we should just, you know, put this out on a track, shouldn't we? You know, lines you cannot use while trying to get sex. You know, put it out there for the Christians, you know. And we try to, because we're relying on our own emotions, we're relying on our own reasoning. And we can start to put this, well, that doesn't apply to me, or you know, whatever. It's baloney. It does apply to you. And let me tell you something, it's a hard lesson to learn when you go out there and you start thinking, well, that's not for me. And yeah, I know the pastor said that last week, and you know, he quoted that out of Scripture, but you know, I'm kind of out of the loop. And you know what? You're going to find out the hard way that you're not out of the loop. It's for all of us. It's for all of us. It's very important to realize the Word of God is for each and every one of us. Now, but you notice something here, too, about the Word. Many of us we'll oftentimes get into a jam, and then what do? You know, Christians, we quick go to our Bible. What's God got to say about this? And we start, get the concordance, and we start calling the pastor on the phone, you know, and it's like, does the Bible say anything about this? You know, and you know, we start looking for it. You know, the Bible is not meant to be the bat phone, okay, where you got, you know, boop, boop, you know, and you hit the pole, slide down, you know, off you go. The Bible isn't meant to be that way. Remember when Jesus was up on the Mount Transfiguration, and he had his close inner circle of apostles there? It's a great moment, you know, great time, and they came down. And they come down to find this scene going on down there, which was a man that was with his son who was demon-possessed. The other apostles are down there, and they were trying to cast these demons out of this kid, and it just wasn't working. And Jesus stepped in, sort of like, okay, you know what? Here, let the man come in. He's going to do it. So he casts the demons out, and then afterwards the apostles come to him, you know, private, and say, how come we couldn't cast out the demons? And Jesus said something very intriguing to me. He says this kind only comes out through prayer and fasting. Now initially we go, well, that's kind of unfair, Lord. I mean, how do we know, you know, that we were going to run into this? I mean, you know, in prayer and fasting, we didn't have times like, hey, Dad, we'll be back in a couple weeks. We're going to go pray and fasting. You know, you keep the kid out of the fire, you know, because he kept throwing himself in the fire. And then that wasn't happening. So, you know, what was Jesus insinuating? He was insinuating that demon-possessed boy, so to speak, is out there. We know that the enemy's out there. We know the trials are out there. We know the testing, the questions, the situations, they are out there. So our life needs to be one that is prayer and fasting. It needs to be in a situation in which we are prepared for the battle. Now, you single people, well, I don't need to read that stuff in Ephesians, you know, in Corinthians about, you know, husband and wife stuff because, you know, I ain't married. No. Memorize it now so the pastor doesn't have to see you for post-marriage counseling, okay? You know, my schedule's busy. Try to figure this out and get solid on the Word of God before that occurs. And we need to know the Word of God so that you are armed. Can you imagine, you know, it talks about Ephesians in the latter chapters there about putting on the armor of God. It's not wait till you see the enemy and then quick get to the closet and you're just kind of trying to get on the, you know, the helmet, you know, and trying to put, because the enemy comes in, you're dead before you ever, you know, get on the breastplate, you know, you're dead. That's what happens to us spiritually speaking. We're not ready. You're saying, wait a minute, Pastor, you're saying I got to wear that armor all the time? Yes! Wear the armor all the time. And so you got to be into it. You got to be armed for the battle all the time because you guys, the truth is, and the sooner you come to realize this, the better off you'll be. It's war out there. You're never safe. It's not going to cease. The devil doesn't punch out. It's Saturday. I'll give him a break today. You know, I'm not going to go pick on Tim. You know, how about you guys who serve here on Sundays? Does the devil whack you Sunday mornings or what? It's not like, oh, you know, this is their day in church, so we're just going to kind of lay off until Monday. No, man, he wakes up and boom, he starts punching me and Sharon as soon as we get up. Those of you that serve, you know you go through the same thing. You know, it's hard because he's going to hit you. By the way, the devil does not fight fair. You know, he's a groin kicker. He really is. You know, he's nasty. He bites, he pokes, he gouges. He does all this. He'll bite your ear, you know. He's a nasty fighter. You have to be armed all the time. That means you have to be in the Word of God. And it's your loss. and really this body of Christ loss if you're not in the Word of God all the time. And as I say to you many times, I'm going to preach it till I die. This cannot be the only time you eat during the week. You have to be eating every day if you're going to be spiritually healthy. And guys, the vegetables too. Okay? You know, don't be, you know, in John, and oh, it'll make you feel all good, you know, Galatians, woo, you know, you're into grace, you know, and it's like, and you shy away from James, you shy away from the epistles of John and Peter. Ooh, you know, that's hardcore stuff. You need to realize, full balanced meal, all the way across, God's grace, praise God, we'd be lost without it, wonderful thing. But He's calling us to something also. He's calling us to something. We need to realize it's a full package deal. That's the wonderful. You read Scripture, and isn't it a perfect harmony of God's wonderful grace, our responsibility, His predestination, versus our free choice? It's wonderful. It's almost like God wrote it or something, huh? It's amazing. And He goes on and He says in verse 12, "Blessed art Thou, O Lord, teach me Thy statutes." Now, we're certainly not the only church on the block that does this. Well, maybe on this block. But we believe in the Word of God. And when we read this, it says, "Blessed art Thou, O Lord, teach me Thy statutes." We believe in teaching the Word of God. Where is that spiritual growth on a practical realm? Getting into the Word of God. Letting the Word of God change us, teach us. That keeps us from getting out there on weird stuff, on weird doctrines. You need to be asking all the time, where is that in the Bible? Now, I try to tell you when something's my opinion. And you know, those of you that know me know I got plenty of them. But I try to clarify when it's opinion and when it's the Word of God. Okay? My opinions, you can do whatever. You can chuck them. It doesn't matter. It's just my opinions. But the Word of God is the Word of God. And you need to get into it. Know what He says. "Blessed art Thou, O Lord, teach me Thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of Thy mouth." Now here He's beginning in the four dealings concerning His Word. The first dealing here that we have is with my lips. The Bible speaks about confession. Not confession as far as like confessing to me. You know, I'm not a priest. I'm not the Holy Spirit. I'm not Jesus Christ. You do not need to confess. Now some of you do because it's like I need to be accountable, especially those in leadership. You'll come and you will confess. But not because I can make things right with God for you. You may be making things right with me. Okay, but confession here, He's speaking about with His lips, is the confession of His Word. Speaking His Word out here. With my lips, speaking them out. Now, again, prerequisite, you gotta know it first, don't you? Now, some of you guys are saying, "I'm so bad at this. I'm terrible at memorization." Well, man, I tell you, I put myself on the front lines with that memorization thing. I mean, my wife can outquote Scripture on me any day of the week. You want to know where it's at, chapter and verse? Don't ask me. It's like, well, the pastor will know. No, I won't. I'll just get on my Thompson Chain reference and it's like, look in the back. You know, great Bible, but a really bad crutch too. My wife's much better than many of you guys are. Many of these school of ministry students can out-quote this pastor. I told you guys, I think I fried them. You know, my BC days, all that weed, burned out the memorization things in my brain. I can tell you what the Word of God says, but even tell me where it is, I got to go look it up. So I'm bad, but I tell you, I am committed to learning the Word of God. And I'm going to do this, and I'm going to keep drilling myself until I figure it out. And one of the ways we learn this is confession, is speaking it out with my lips. You will never become a master of the Word, guys, by simply listening to me teach. You never become a master of the Word. You have to do this between you and God. Open the Word. He goes on in verse 14, He says, "I have rejoiced in the way of Thy testimonies as much as in all riches." So the second thing here, first was, I confess with my lips. The second is, I have rejoiced in the way. So do you rejoice in the way of Scripture here? In the way. We kind of touched upon it last week. Many of us look at Scripture as like, it's something I got to do. God's telling me, so I got to do this. And it's like, you know, if you have that attitude, I'd be willing to bet that you don't really have that personal oneness relationship with Jesus Christ. Because the longer you walk with Him, if you're truly in love with Him, you will find that His ways are not only an obedience path, but it is the path of joy. It is the path that makes us fulfilled. It says it's not meant to be burdensome. He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And you'll find out that these are the paths that actually fulfill us. Now, agreed, it oftentimes runs against the flesh. Okay, I'm not saying that your flesh doesn't want to go get drunk, or your flesh, you know, doesn't want to lie or cheat or steal once in a while. I'm not saying your flesh doesn't want to do that. But the way of God is the way of joy, the way of peace, the way of fulfillment. And when we read a passage like this, I have rejoiced in the way, not just in hearing His Word, because a lot of us will read it and it's like, yeah, God, whoo, you know, that was great, man, you're right on, God, and then go right out the door and do totally the opposite. That's not rejoicing in the way of the Word, is it? That's rejoicing in just, you know, the idea behind it. And it really makes us into a hypocrite. I've rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all the riches. Now, you know, if you get home tonight and you know, Ed McMahon's there, you know, you won $1 million, woohoo, there'll be great joy, wouldn't they? Do you have that same kind of joy in the fact that you've been given $1 million? Right here. You've given all that is needed for life and godliness, he tells us. Everything? Everything. All that is needed for life and godliness. Isn't that amazing? And the more you know this word, the more you get into it, you'll find out that it has all the keys. Want a good marriage? It's here. Want to be a great employee? It's here. How about a good boss? It's here. You want to be a good parent? It's here. Or you can go read Dr. Spock or whatever it is that the world's peddling these days. It's like, yeah, but, you know, I don't know. You know, those things they tell us in the Bible on how to raise our kids are not very PC today, are they? Nope. In fact, it's very un-PC. But it will work. And take a look. I mean, the way we're raising them now is really working well, isn't it? Yeah, it's great. I don't know about you guys, but when I was in high school, no one was shooting at me. Okay? Generally speaking, no one was shooting at me. But these days, I don't just pick on that one issue. I shudder. Man, I look at the kids these days and think, maybe that's just a sign of growing old, you know? I don't know. I look at this and it's like, this is going to be a mess. It is going to be a shambles. I mean, when these kids get to be adults, if you think that we're cracking up now, you know? I mean, the shrinks and the medical world, that's where you need to invest, because the world's going to be going more and more and more that direction, trying to find the answers to fulfillment and all the rest, to fill that Jesus hole in our chest. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts, and I will and have respect unto thy ways. So, the third thing here is I will meditate on the Word. Something I do in my own devotions, I don't know if it works for you guys, I read through my devotions, and somewhere along the way while I was reading that, you know, 80 chapters or whatever I read for that morning, I'll find one verse in there that's like, ooh, boy, that's a good verse. And so I'll finish and I'll go back and I'll read over that verse again. It's like, okay, that's going to be my verse today. And I will meditate on that verse that day. Good way to memorize it, for one thing. Something that I've been aiming to do, I haven't done it yet, is I'm going to start writing that down. I'm going to write it down, because you know how when you write it down, you remember things? And I'm going to put it in my pocket. So every time I go in there, you know, for whatever, I pull that out, I'm going to see that. And it's going to be just the verse for the day. I'm going to want to meditate upon it. I will meditate on thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. There it is, the way. It speaks of a road, a path, a direction. What way are you going tonight? I mean, many of us, if you even a believer tonight, your way is like this. And then you wonder why it's taking you so long to grow in the Lord. You know? And doesn't it irritate you when you are a Christian and you're going like this and some young punk kid comes flying by you at 90 straight as an arrow, you know, and you're going, you're back and forth. The Bible talks about the path being a straight and narrow. It is, isn't it? Straight and narrow. It takes a steady step. It takes concentration, meditation, diligence, commitment to go that way. This is our part. Can you do these things inside of you? No. What can you do? Pursue. Move forward. Seek God with a whole heart. You say, you know, I'm trying to seek with a whole heart. Well, I tell you, the first thing you need to do is go and talk to God about it. Go to Him and say, you know, Lord, I want to seek You with a whole heart, and I just can't seem to pull it out. I can't get it together here. And you read the first 8 verses here, and that's what we talked about last week. About that. And you know, the Lord is so gracious, and He's so loving, and He's so patient. And He knows your heart. If your heart is there, He will pick up where you are slack. The Bible talks about the fact that He says that He is diligent. He is consistent, even when you're not. That's a good thing, isn't it? See, you can count on God. God's not going to mess up. He's not going to, you know, forget you. He's not going to drop you. He's not going to, oh, Tim, you know. You know, in the kids, when you, those are your parents, you know, you throw the kids up in the air, you know, like that. I mean, some of us, I don't know whether we think God's like, what's that? You know, when you fall, He's not going to drop you. In fact, He tells us to come to Him as a child. And you've seen your kids leap from tall areas in your house because they just expect you to catch them. And you do, don't you? Boy, you bet. I used to see, you know, Brian Harnish take Jonathan when he was a lot smaller. Boy, he would sky with that kid, you know, and the kid, wow, you know. But I never saw Brian drop that kid. At least, not that I saw, but come to think of it, he hasn't exactly been right. No, never mind. We do that. We should have that faith in God. Why? Because He's not going to drop us. He's not going to drop us. He's faithful, even when we're not. Have respect unto thy ways. Verse 16, the fourth issue, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Fourth thing here is, I will delight. I will be joyous. I will be happy in His word. Do you really, truly tonight want to follow God's word? Do you want what He has to say? See, many of us, we're afraid to get into His word because we're afraid of what He's going to say. We don't want to know, so we put our spiritual fingers and our spiritual ears and we pretend like ignorance is bliss. But you see, very much like the law today is, ignorance is no excuse. We need to be able to take the word and drink it all down and let the word have its full run and course in our lives. God will do the rest. Remember, we just to take that first step into the River Jordan. He does the rest. He stops the water. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Now, how do you keep yourself from forgetting something? By reminding yourself again and again. I recall where Paul, in one of his epistles, was saying, you know, I know I've told you all this stuff before, but I want to tell you this again so you don't forget. It's important to be reminded. I'm amazed. I've actually run into people sometimes that go, I've been through the whole Bible. I've heard all that stuff. There's nothing left for me there. I need to get into the deeper stuff now, you know, so they go out and get all these heretical books and start looking. You know what? I'm like, I'm sorry, what book are you reading? Because I can read books that I have read again and again in Scripture, and it's like, oh, wow, I never knew that was in there. Or that it will apply to an event going on in your life that you couldn't even had a concept about a year before, maybe. It's like you're going through this situation, and you read it, and it's fresh and anew. Speaking of that marriage thing, you can read it as a single person, and you go, yeah, I'm gonna love my wife as Christ loved the church, you know, and you're just like, you're all bright and shiny, and you're going to be the man, you know, super husband. And so you read it in that context, and then you get married, and everything changes. And then there's the mornings you wake up, and you look over at her and go, I don't even like you. I don't want to be married to you. And it's like, I got to love her like Christ loved the church. And oh, that means, you know, unilaterally. And, you know, even if they don't love me back and without asking for anything in return. And oh, you know, start going down the list. Oh, then it's all new, isn't it? And let me tell you something. 20 years into your marriage, you read it and it's a whole new context again, isn't it? Because you know what? I haven't quite mastered, even with almost 21 years of marriage, Have I mastered that love my wife as Christ loved the church? But I figure she's working on that submission thing yet, so we're okay. No. I think she's got that down. You know, I'm the one pulling up the slack here. You know, I will not forget thy word. Going on in verse 17, deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. That I may live and keep thy word. Now, it's important to look into this passage because we know in the Old Testament, the concept behind the Old Testament was do and you will live. Isn't that pretty much it? I mean, that's the way that the Old Testament kind of ran. And then when Jesus came, fulfilling the law, now it's flipped in the sense that the New Testament teaches us live and you will do. Live and you will do. The question is are you alive out there tonight? Now, I don't want you reaching down, you know, checking your pulse. I'm talking about spiritual life because we know the New Testament also teaches that if you're not born again, you're dead. Okay? And you guys know how I preach on this. It's very important to understand that the lost is as good as dead. Okay? There's only one thing that's going to shock that spiritual heart back beating again, and that is the prayer of redemption. Lord, save me. And bump, bump, there goes your heart. Otherwise, they're dead. God don't hear nothing. You're not one of his kids. You're on your own. What a nasty place to be. I mean, the wind blows and you're here there and you get depressed. There's no one there for you because you don't know God. You know, and it's like you're feeling empty, you're feeling unfulfilled. No God. Well, you know, what can I say? Get saved. And then you live, and then Jesus Christ in you will do. Isn't that great? Now, I don't know of any other religion on earth that does that for you. You know, study them. You know, check out Islam. Whew. Man, you really got to do a lot, don't you? Buddhism? You know, my legs cramp. You know, I got to do all those things, and I cut glass, and you're going to reach nirvana. It's like, what is nirvana, you know? You know what it is? I mean, Aaron's the man. He can tell you about it. You know what it is? You just cease to be. Woo! You just be absorbed into the great grand cosmos. I don't want to be absorbed into the great grand cosmos. You know, I don't want nirvana. If that's nirvana, they make it sound so great. And it's just like, you just, you know, cease to be. I don't want to cease to be. I don't know about you guys, but I want to live forever and forever and forever and forever with Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ did that in me. And that's why the New Testament and God's grace live and you will do. Now turn for a moment. Keep your finger there. Turn to the book of Romans. Read in the New Testament. Book of Romans, chapter 8. The wonderful book of Romans, chapter 8. I tell you one thing, those of you that are students of the Word, if you only got one chapter in all of the entire Bible, you know, take that little X-Acto knife and cut out chapter 8 of the book of Romans, because you know what? It's all there. Chapter 8, verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Okay? That means Jesus Christ made you free from death. You are alive if you're born again because of Jesus Christ. And if you're not born again tonight, man, you are missing it. You don't know what living is. Going on, verse 3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law, okay, not the law, but the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Live and you will do. You will not be able to help but do. You know, you need to, you know, it's like if you're freaking out, it's like, I got to do these and I got to be good. And I, you know, now that I'm saved, you know, and I got to do. You know, you need to just chill. Because God in you will do. I've talked to you guys again and again about this idea of you can put all those that junk in your life, you know, out on a table. And it's like, all right, now I'm saved and I'm going to get a handle on this stuff. And you pick up the first thing, you know, and you concentrate and you discipline and, you know, you wear the patch. You do all that kind of stuff, you know. And you know, and I'm going to get through this thing. And finally, it's done. And you go, whew, all right. And then you look back at the table and go, oh, man, it's like huge. It's a bigger mountain than it was before. Take your arm and sweep all that junk off onto the floor. And then take one thing, Jesus Christ, and set him in the middle of the table. That's where the key is. You just concentrate on him. Talk to him. Get to know him. Seek him to be in your life. Seek to know him on a personal basis. Commune with him. Serve him. Read about him. Grow. You know what? All that junk is going to go away. Now, I'm not saying you're going to look down on the floor and it's all going to be gone. You know? But you're going to look down and the pile's going to be smaller. And then back on Jesus, you know? And you look down, pile smaller. And when you finally look down and it's all gone, you'll look up and there will be Jesus. Because you'll be dead. Isn't that cool? And it's like, that's how you know you're finished. Is when I look into the eyes of Jesus and it's like, okay, whew, done. But I tell you, you start concentrating on all those little things, you're never going to make it. You're going to be miserable and you're going to be a terrible legalist. And you'll always be unhappy. And the worst thing about all that is you're going to look at me, who's a gracer, and you're going to hate me. Because I want to be happy. And you're not. Okay? Let Jesus be the center and the only issue. He will do in you. Be ye transformed. God will come into your life and make you into a new person. And you are never, ever going to do it on your own. And by the way, this would be a good time for me to mention, if you're sitting out there going, I just need to clean up my life a little, and then I'll give it over to God. Satan's been using that same line for like 6, 7, 8,000 years. Give it up. You're never going to straighten it up. That's the lie of Satan. You are never going to straighten out your life so you can give God a good package. By the way, if you could, you can't be a Christian. That's biblical. Who does God save? Sinners. So the bigger sinner you are, that moves you right to the front of the line. You know? If you are a dirty, rotten, scummy Jeffrey Dahmer sinner, okay? God wants you. He only wants broken pots. He's into the cracked pot business. That's why he loves Calvary Chapel. We're a whole church full of cracked pots. So you have to be that way. So understand something. Not only can you never get there, but God don't want you if you're fixed. You can't be fixed anyway. God wants you busted, broken, humble, on your face, and a dirty, rotten sinner. That's what he wants. Why? Because when he fixes you, he gets the glory. And you and your heart and all of your friends and your spouse and everyone that knows you is going to go, wow, that God is the real God. Because only God, Jehovah Almighty, can do that to my son or daughter or to my husband or to my friend. And you blow their minds, freak them out. It's great. It's great. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. This should be our prayer. You guys ever read? I do this. You ever read and you like read an entire chapter and you get to the end and go, what? You don't have the foggiest idea what you just read. You know? And you go back and read it again and what? And then you start getting rid of your King James, get out Living Bible, which isn't always a bad idea. But you know something? You need to stop for a second. Say, Lord, I need your spirit for understanding and clarification. Would you speak to my heart? Fill me with your spirit so that I can understand what you're saying to me here. And all of a sudden it kind of opens up. How many times I've heard stories of people, you know, when they're unsaved, sitting in the hotel room, Gideon's Bible, you know, and you're looking at that, what is this? You know, you can't understand it. And then read the same chapter after you're born again and go, oh, wow, and you just weep and cry. Oh, praise God. And you think back at that hotel room. Think, I don't understand a word that was. What's different? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's different. Because now the Holy Spirit's in you. And because you're alive and you're dead. You're a dead man reading a Bible. And amazing. In reality, that's what it is. Dead men can't read. Did you guys know that? Open thy my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Now, I got another verse. I didn't give no verse list here, so I have to look everything up. 2 Timothy. Before we leave this verse, 2 Timothy 3:16. speaking of these wondrous things out of the Word of God, John, or see, now I got 3:16 going in my head. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." And I want you to notice, I love it, the little word, all. Okay? All Scripture. Now, it's interesting, in this verse, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All those words is one word in the Greek, which literally means God breathed. God breathed. God said this. God breathed. Wondrous things for us, guys. There is treasure here if you get into this. Verse 19, "I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me." The word stranger in the Hebrew means sojourner. If you're familiar with it, it's someone who's passing through. A sojourner. That, believer, is supposed to be our heart, where it's just passing through. I mean, you've seen it. I think I even got a pin that I wear sometimes. You know, only visiting this planet. Larry Norman had a song. You guys are probably all too young. Larry Norman sang it, you know, only visiting this planet. I tell you, we're supposed to be sojourners. We're supposed to be just passing through. Now, many of us, man, we're stocking up. We're living, we're acting like we're going to be here forever. We just, you know, we want to make $1 million and we want to have the big house by the lake and, you know, the biggest, fastest boat and good car and have money and security and stocks and bonds and all stuff. You know, it's like, what are you packing for? Are you packing to be here for eternity? Or are you packing the fact that you are a sojourner? You're passing through. Let me tell you something. This game is a lightning bolt, but you're passing through whether you like it or not. Because we're all dying. Everyone in this room is slowly inching towards death. What a bummer, huh? Not for me, it ain't. I want to feel what it feels like to be bodily whole and complete. I want to have that body that Jesus had, that resurrected body. I want to be able to be as I was supposed to be before the fall of man. It's very important to understand we're passing through. Sojourners. I'm a stranger in this earth. Stranger. Now realize that being a stranger, oftentimes, if you're a believer here tonight, the world is speaking another language, isn't it? And there's very few places that you can go that speak your language. But the Word of God is always there. It speaks in the heavenly language. I've had a chance to travel quite a bit overseas, and those of you who went on the Philippines stuff with us over the past couple of years, isn't it great, like when where we stay in Manila, we get to walk, you know, 2 blocks down the street, and there's a Starbucks. It's like somewhere where they speak my language, you know. Double latte. You know, we know it's like, you know, extra large. We understand that. And it's so good to be there. It kind of keeps you sane because when you walk back out, no one's speaking your language, you know. And you go up into the hills and these little villages, and they're definitely not speaking your language. That's the way the world is. I guess that's why I like coming here with you guys, because you speak my language. And the Word of God is my traveling church. It's with me all the time because it speaks the heavenly language. I'm just a sojourner. I'm passing through. And I hope you guys are on the same train as I am. Verse 20, "My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto the judgment at all times." Guys, when we're born again, we are drawn into a life or into a supernatural work that is going on, and it has gone on and it continues to occur. And as we are changed into the likeness of Jesus Christ, we are drawn naturally to the things of God. If you are not growing in that, and the drawing of God calling you and drawing you to the things of God is not occurring, be concerned about your salvation. And I'm not passing judgment. I'm just saying, I'll be straight with you. As you grow in the Lord, you need to be knowing that He will supernaturally be drawing you to Him because you're now one of His kids and we are becoming more and more like Him. Now, the example I would have is like when you guys were kids, magnets intrigue me, you know. Someone gave me one of those funky little magnet things for my desk, you know, and that's why I don't get no work done. Everything spin all day. You take a needle and you a big strong magnet and you set that needle on the table and it just goes shunk and just goes right to that magnet, doesn't it? That's what is happening with us because we are being supernaturally drawn to that magnet. And the cool thing about it is what happens if you leave that needle on that magnet long enough? It becomes a magnet. That's what happens. And that's exactly what happens to us. We are being drawn to Him. And the longer that we spend in the proximity, in the connection to Jesus Christ, we become like Him. We become a magnet. And then, have you guys that are fairly new Christians, isn't it trippy when people start coming to you like at work and going, "Hey man, would you pray for me? I have marriage issues and stuff." It's like, whoa. You know, I freak out. Like, oh, they're watching me now. They know I'm a Christian. Yeah, they're being drawn to you. Why? Because you're being magnetized. You're becoming like Jesus. And they don't have the road and avenue that you have of communication. So they come to you. And I always like to tell people, "Yeah, man, I'll pray for you, but you know, I can fix it right here with you, you know. So you can talk to Him yourself. I can give you your own bat phone. You can call Him yourself. All the time." Remember we talked about cable modems? They are technology at its best. That's what we're supposed to be with God. 24 hours a day. The line is open. That's what we're supposed to be, and it can be that way for everyone. "My soul," verse 20, "breaketh for the longing that it has unto the judgment of all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments." Rebuke the proud. Guys, all sin has pride at its root. They always say, what's right in the middle of sin? I is right in the middle of the word sin. Yeah, well, what's right in the middle of pride? Oh, I'm there too. I. Because what happens in the essence of sin, it's when you read the scripture here, and it's like, oh, God's saying, you know, don't have any other gods before me. Don't covet. You know, I mean, general direction stuff here. Don't, you know, commit adultery, these kind of things. And when we think that we're outside of that loop and we go out in sin, it's pride. Pride. Arrogance. The sin of witchcraft. We need to be very careful to realize that rebellion, pride, and sin, they all go hand in hand. Pride's a very, very destructive thing, and that goes for the non-saved and the saved. Remember, what brought Lucifer down? Pride. I want to be like God. And so he's played that card over and over. He got Adam and Eve with it. Hey, you can be like God. And now it's the same thing. It's just with a twist. Because that's what we're doing. We can be like God. What do you mean? I can decide my own destiny here. Oh, I'm sorry. It's God Smith. Or, you know, it's God. I can make these decisions. I am God. That's been the downfall of man from the beginning. It's pride. And you know what? You will never do it. You don't have the power. That's the thing you need to stop from it. Do I have the wherewithal to do all these things that I demand to have the right to do? No. The amazing thing is how many of us go to our grave, and that's the parting thought as we're slipping into eternity. I failed. As you lay in your deathbed, I'm a failure as a father. I'm a failure as a husband. I bombed at business and I failed to fulfill. I failed to do anything of worth. I failed. It's like, that's because you chose to do it your way the whole way. It's not going to be the case with me. Not even if I die tonight. I will not go to my grave saying I have failed. Because God in me, I've got to see some wonderful things. Now, I'm not the world's best husband, but I would go to my grave 21 years of great marriage. Why? Because God in me. Because I'm doing it His way. What about my career, my job? Man, I cannot believe people actually pay me to do this. This is the best thing in the whole world for me. And I imagine wherever your place is in the body of Christ, God's telling you and you're going, man, no, Tim, this is the best thing. And I hope you have that attitude. Because God will lead you into those things and you can go to your grave fulfilled and with a smile on your face going, woo, going out in a blaze of glory. I'm going to go out with a smile on my face, man. Because you know what? Not only am I going on to eternity with Jesus Christ, but I am leaving a great time. At a great time. How many of us will be able to say on our deathbed, you know what? It was fun. Yeah. Had a great time. See you on the other side. See, I will. For all of you that are children of God, I'll see you on the other side, man. Think about that for a minute. We all will meet up again on the other side. Perfect bodies. Finally whole. Finally no more sin. No more of that stuff. I'll finally actually be able to hang out with you guys and like you. No. You'll finally be able to hang out with me and like me. It'll be great. Verse 22, remove me from reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimony. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. You know, the world ridicules the believer, doesn't it? Don't they? Now, you don't have to be a Christian very long to get ridiculed. Those of you guys that are students, man, I think college, that's got to be the worst. It's hard to be a Christian. It's not easy to be a Christian anywhere, just in this world, but college is rough. Because they talk to you and act like, are you out of your mind? I mean, what's college for? Party! That's what college is for. I mean, didn't you go out and leave high school? And it's like, I'm going to college and have lots of drugs, lots of booze, and lots of sex. I'm going to have a good... Education never really entered into it, did it? It was like 4 years of party lust and just pleasing. And then they look at you and it's like, you're going to church tonight? Are you insane? And then they at least want you to kind of water it down. You don't have to be a fanatic about it. I mean, come on. Just kind of chill out a little bit, you know? Your God doesn't want you to have a fun time. The world ridicules. It's tough. Princes did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate on thy statutes. And let me tell you something. If you want to deal with that stuff, you better be meditating on it. Meditating. And that whole pray unceasingly, man, that had to be written. Dear college student, pray unceasingly. 24, thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Guys, we as a people, and Christians, we're just as guilty, I'm afraid, as being susceptible to this idea of looking to the world for our counsel. It's books, it's therapists, it's supposed wisdom. Once again, the Bible says all things that pertain to life and godliness. And I'm just going to get in your face for just a minute and say something to you here. You're not listening. Because if you think that they have your answers and the Bible does not, you're not listening. You're not reading. You're refusing. Now, see, the tricky thing about God and His Word is God doesn't change with every new wind of therapy or wind of ideal or wind of life choice, lifestyle, whatever it might be. And now we're kind of told, you know, it's okay to feel this way. We got to get in touch with our feelings, you know, and we're, you know, going to kind of hold on to them. And the Bible says, what? Give it up. Oh, I don't want to give it up. I want to hold on to it. See, that's the problem. You're not listening. Because the Word of God and God Himself tells us things like, forgive. Or cast your burdens upon me. Or get over it. Or trust me. Or allow me to heal you. And you say, that's an awfully extreme view, Pastor. Yeah, I've been accused of that. But it's the biblical view. It just depends on how much you want to accept it. Does God have all you need or not? Can God do anything and everything or not? Are you saying that the world and some book you pick up at Barnes and Noble's has the key to life, but God does not? Stop and think about that for a minute. Let's see. He made you out of dirt. He whipped up everything that you know of as reality in 6 days. And He can't deal with whatever's bugging you? Seek the Lord. He's the great counselor. The sooner you go to the Lord and allow Him to counsel you to mend your broken heart, to deal with your mind, the sooner you will know what it is to be whole. Does that mean you're not going to have a bad day? No. Bad day's life, by the way. See, we kind of got the idea today that I'm never supposed to be down, or I'm not supposed to have a bad day, or never feel bad, or anything like that. When did this change? When did this occur? You know what? Some days I feel bad. But He gives me a peace that passes all understanding. What does that mean? That means He gives me a peace and I can't figure out how it works. It's beyond my understanding. Sometimes I think about it. It's like, let's see. I live in Wisconsin. You know, I'm kind of here in this little dot on the earth. You know? And all of a sudden I start to feel really small. It starts to freak me out. You know, it's like, whoa, you know. And it's wait a minute. Are you happy, Tim? Well, yeah, I guess I am. You know? And we start to kind of freak out on all the pressures of the world. But He has all the answers. It does not say that the pastor has all the answers. Or your husband, or your wife, or another pastor around here, or whoever. You know who has all the answers? Jesus Christ and the Word of God. But you must first be born again, because if you're not, none of this applies. The only thing that applies to you in Scripture, if you're not born again, is that really nasty part back here in Revelation. That part's for you. You can read that and insert name here. Weeping, gnashing of teeth, darkness, you know, eternity away from the presence of God. But for the rest of us, this is all for me. When He says He loves me, and He paid for all my sins, and He wants me to have a good marriage, and He wants me to be at peace, and He wants me to be whole, and He wants me to be fulfilled, that's for us. Get to know His Word. Fall in love with His Word. Hide His Word in your heart. And Christians, this is something for us tonight. We need to pay close attention to this. And again, I'm sure I'm going to touch a nerve here tonight with a crowd this size. But it's the truth, and I got to speak the truth. God is your counselor. Let Him do the healing. We're going to end right there tonight. Well, not bad. 16 verses.